Blog Talk Radio.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns when the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, and of course, the Constitution Hour is made possible by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. And I don't know about the rest of you, but that always makes the hair stand on the back of my neck, the end of that song. And behold, I saw a pale horse and him who sat upon him was death. You know, we've had a lot of discussion of late, and I know there are members that want to get into the discussion of God and trying to promote Christ in your life and the lives of others, and that is absolutely something we should all be doing. However, in my opinion, based on what I have gathered over the years from reading Scripture, I don't believe that we were placed here to sit as a bump on a log and praise God in and out every day, 24/7, and do nothing about all that goes on around us. In fact, I think each of us is supposed to help lift up his neighbor, his brother, his sister, his fellow man. And sometimes that uplifting involves pointing out the evil in the actions that they're undertaking. And sometimes that action requires refusal or inaction, the refusal to act. I call to mind a couple of stories that are in the Bible. One, the story of the 10 talents. The other, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think that last story, if you're not familiar with it, is one that we should all become familiarized with. In the story, these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were told that the law said that whenever the trumpets and the music would play, they were supposed to bow down and worship the king. And they laughed it off and said, "Sorry, but we only worship one king. We only have one ruler, and that's God, and you're not him. And you can pass all the laws and decrees you want. You can kill us, but we're not bowing down. You are not our king." Well, they got thrown in the furnace, and that didn't work out too well for the king because they were unharmed. Now, that story is pointing something out to us. It's giving us a clue as to how we should conduct ourselves in our daily lives. This is something that I've talked about on previous programs. I feel that I've talked about it until I'm blue in the face, but you know me, I can't resist beating a dead horse. So I'm going to throttle that horse some more tonight. The worst punishment that a king or a government can thrust upon any of us is the threat of death, or actual physical death for that matter. The question then becomes, do you hold true to your faith in Christ and your Christian principles, or are you willing to bend or compromise to save your own skin? In the flesh, or to save the comfort of those around you? Because this really is the fundamental question. What are you willing to risk in defense of what you say? Are you firmly held convictions because the courts have ruled that there is a distinct difference between a belief and a conviction. And I'm not talking about the kind of conviction that you get when you get stopped for having marijuana in the car, criminal court conviction. I'm talking about standing for something other than just words. Willing to risk more than just a little discomfort. And I recounted the story at least two or three times on this program about the gentleman who was told that he had to put his children into public schools. And he told the local authorities, "I can't." And the local authorities said, "You must. It's the law." And he replied, "You don't understand. I can't do what you're asking me to do. I simply cannot." The authorities couldn't understand it because it was certainly within his ability to allow his children to go to this public school. And they told him, "But if you don't, we're going to arrest you. We're going to have you arrested. We're going to put you in jail. You don't want that, do you?" He said, "Of course not. No one wants to go to jail. No one wants to be incarcerated. But I'm telling you, I can't send my children to your public school." The officials were dumbfounded by his insistence. And they told him, "But if you don't, you'll lose your children. They'll be taken away from you. You'll be deemed an unfit parent. And the state will become their guardian, and you will be in jail. Is that what you want?" And he said, "No, of course not. And I love my children with all my heart. But I can't do what you're asking me to do." Well, sure enough, true to their word, they arrested the man, put him in jail, took his children into state custody, and put them in public school. He didn't stop fighting. No, because he knew that he was right. By the grace of God, his case made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the justices at the court asked this gentleman something that none of the authorities to that point had bothered to ask him. "Why, sir, won't you send your children to public school?" He said, "It's not a matter of that I won't. It's a matter of I cannot send them to a public school." And they said, "Why not?" Said, "Because it violates everything that I hold true in my religion." The court agreed with the gentleman. And they said that he had demonstrated, as a matter of fact, that he truly held the moral high ground. Because he didn't simply have a belief in his religious teachings. No, he had something far greater than a simple belief. He had an actual conviction. He was willing to risk raising his children. He was willing to risk prison. He was not willing, ladies and gentlemen, to compromise not even one scintilla. It was not open to negotiation. That, the court deemed to be a conviction and not simply a loosely held belief. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to submit to you is exactly why this very day you find yourself in the dilemma that you're in. You wonder what Congress will next do to you. You wonder how much more they will take from you. And you fear your government. Mike, he didn't explain it because no one ever asked. And if they had asked, do you think that would have changed their opinion in the least? Not based on the behavior that I have seen from countless public officials and courts. Perhaps he should have. Maybe he did and they didn't listen. But the facts are the facts. It is because you continue to compromise your freedom, ladies and gentlemen, that you find yourself without it. It is because you continue to consent to those things, those very things that you say you detest. And it will not be until the day that you stand your ground and say no more, and say no, I will not do it. It is not until then that you will be able to begin to regain your rights and your freedom. How do you compromise it, Mike? You have a job. Did you fill out all kinds of paperwork for your job? Did you make an election under the law claiming to be something that you're not? Did you fill out a W-4 form? Yes, you did. You filled out a form giving your employer permission to withhold from you what he's contracted with you to pay you. Do you file a 1040 form at the end of the year? Do you ask the government for benefits? Do you tell them, oh, I'm going to claim 5 exemptions? Well, Mike, isn't that the point? Mike asked, could I have gotten the job if I didn't sign it? Probably not. The bigger question, Mike, is what if all the people out there looking for a job refused to sign it? What if we just simply refused to participate? Well, this is the conundrum that we find ourselves in, don't we? How do I feed my family? How do I care for my family? I go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How can I survive if I don't bow to the king when the music plays like he asks? It's all a matter of choice. That's a compromise. We've compromised ourselves into this position. And I don't believe that the patriot community at large is going to do a damned thing until shoved into a corner with their backs against the wall. That's a personal choice. It would appear the only option at this point is to ride it out, stockpile ammunition and food, and wait until they're knocking at your door before you start shooting at them. Because after all, that's where we're all going to draw the line, right? That's when we'll make our stand, when they come knocking at our door to take us away, or to take away the last bastion of freedom, the last possibility for us to defend ourselves against the onslaught of tyranny. We won't give up our guns. I would be willing to bet all the gold that's on the face of the earth that very few would actually stand and fight. And the majority, when faced with death, they'll give up their guns. They're not going to hold out. They're not going to shoot. They're going to say, well, what can I do? I mean, what choice do I have? Robert.
Yes, sir.
I was meaning to take something up with you.
Okay. Am I the dead horse?
Well, no, but I just get the distinct feeling that you've been giving out my name and phone number to some Jewish group or something. I'm not sure.
That's not true.
Well, earlier this evening, as I was working on a little project for a friend of mine, the phone rang.
Oh, you know what? I may have.
I knew that had to be Robert. I get the phone. It's from Alpine, California, so I answered the phone. And the lady asked
if,
she says, is this Mr. Golden? And I said, it is indeed. And she said, Mr. Golden, my name is such and such, and we're contacting all the Jewish families. And I said, I beg your pardon, what exactly is a Jewish family? Is that like a family of female sheep or something?
Jewish.
And she says, no, we're giving away a free DVD about a Jewish man, his life story, and it's free, and we're contacting all the Jewish families. I said, well, ma'am, I'm not a female sheep, and I'm also not Jewish, but I really appreciate your call, and you can tell Robert that this isn't funny.
All right, you're yanking me.
No, I swear, as God is my witness, I really did get that phone call, and she was Indonesian or something. She certainly could not enunciate the J sound at all.
The only time I handed out your number, Ron, was to get this guy to come on the radio show from Atlanta when I was talking to the Masons. But other than that, I never gave anybody else
Robert, I didn't for a minute think it was you. I just figured it was a good way to rib you a little bit. I must say that Jewish is probably a lot closer to the original Hebrew pronunciation than Jewish.
you need to go to Hebrew school.
No, I'm corrupt enough as it is.
I'm only teasing.
How are you?
I can relate what you've been talking about. I mean, this happened to me. And in regards to Kathy, one of Kathy's life coaches, who Kathy couldn't stand, and frankly, I couldn't stand either, but I put up with her because of Leoni, reported to the state that I was living with Kathy and Leoni at their home. So the only way to solve that problem was that I had to get a criminal background check, right, for Sarasota County to claim that I was clean. I wasn't a criminal. I'd never been arrested.
Well, you know, and I mean, isn't that kind of the point? You know, we're placed in compromising positions almost on a daily basis, whether it's of our own doing or whether it's by some bureaucracy or some bureaucrat or some no good busybody with all the best of intentions, but they don't have the slightest friggin' clue the trouble they're creating.
I mean, what happened was,
we're put in a position. We either stand on principle or we compromise. And, you know, I think we can look around us at the end result of where we're at right now today, and we have to at least be honest enough with ourselves to say, well, you know, this compromise thing hasn't worked too damn well to this point.
Yeah. And now they, you know, basically, they signed me up. I basically signed up for the agency. Now I have to, now I have to go through the state background check. I have nothing to hide. It's just a principle. So now I've signed up with the agency, and everything's hunky-dory.
Right. How much did that cost?
Nothing. I did it to protect Leonie and protect me and protect Kathy, you know.
Isn't it somewhat ridiculous that you have to go through these things? And, you know, we had a local story here today, and I couldn't help but just grin a little bit because, you know, these damn idiots are getting a little taste of their own medicine. And, you know, they didn't like it. And I'm glad that they didn't like it. Now, and I can only hope that in the future, you know, they can see the problems that their lobbying, their lawmakers, creates. We had a local school that they had a carbon monoxide leak in the school. You know, evidently there was a faulty furnace in the elementary school, and over the weekend it built up, you know, very bad levels of carbon monoxide, and it started affecting the kids and the teachers, you know, right away as soon as they got in the school. So they pulled them out, and of course, you know, they've got an action plan in place. And so they get all the little ones quarantined, and they're shipping them off to the hospital. Meanwhile, the parents are showing up, and the police are not allowing the parents to go in and get their children, and a confrontation ensued, as you can well imagine. Many of the parents weren't able to produce, you know, ID, and there was a whole process that they had to go through, and there were a lot of expletives being thrown around, and I'm sure a lot of chicken neck, you know, head bobbing going on. And, you know, police officers were threatening to arrest several of the female parents that had arrived. And, you know, I won't go into the whole thing, but, you know, it served. I hope they learned a little lesson. That,
well,
you know, it's a two-way street.
Well,
Linda put up the thing about the vote coming up tomorrow on the CRPD and the UN treaty. And, you know, that's another thing that prompted me to kind of go on this little tirade this evening. Again, by compromising, by failing to stand up, you know, I personally don't give a damn what treaty Congress passes with the United Nations. They can stick it up their tailpipe and smoke it for all I give a damn. There is nothing, not a thing, that those idiots in Washington, D.C. can pass and sign into law that is going to give another human being authority over me. It's just not happening.
Well, that's, you know, the UN's trying to, you know, meddle into, they're trying to take over our government.
Oh, hell, Robert, they don't have to try. I mean, honestly, do you honestly believe that our government does anything on behalf of the actual people in this country?
They're not doing nothing, you know.
No, they don't. The government doesn't do a damn thing other than try to solidify its power and make sure that you know damn good and well that you're nothing but a slave. Shut up and get back in line.
Well, you know, I was watching Jesse Ventura Sunday, and it's conspiracy theory. And you would believe what's going on in Arkansas in Ozarks, you know, with these CIA agents owning these big castles and. And most of the banks and
you're kidding me.
Government
officials living large on the taxpayers' dime, Robert.
Yeah,
I wouldn't believe that. That's ridiculous.
Well, most true.
Nah, there's no way that's true. Look, they only have your best interest in mind. Why, right here in Georgia, do you know that Fulton County, they've hired a lobbying firm to lobby the state capitol? I mean, they are absolutely looking out for the people that live in Fulton County, trying to protect them from the evil government that is the state government. And I'm sure that, you know, Fulton County's efforts and the $300,000 that they're going to pay this lobbying firm that won their bid, you know, they're only doing it to secure the rights and the liberty and the property of those people that live within Fulton County. They're not doing it because they want to keep their little fiefdom going. They're not doing it because they want to stay in power and have absolute control over the area known as Fulton County, Georgia. That would just be ridiculous.
It's amazing to me how, like, for instance, the CEO of Costco has voted for Obama, and now he wishes he had voted for him.
Oh, please. You know, that's a bunch of junk. You know, these guys all go in and they vote for him, and then they say they have buyer's remorse, horse manure.
I mean, it's just totally amazing that everybody's, they're realizing maybe they made a mistake, but, you know, it's just like, who was the guy who said it on the news today? I think it was the psychiatrist that's on Fox News, that German guy, that he's a psychiatrist, and he analyzes all the stuff that's going on, and basically he said Obama doesn't negotiate. It was Boehner. Boehner said Obama doesn't negotiate. He just tells us he just dictates to us. So my interpretation of that was that Obama he's a dictator now.
What's going on right now and all this flap over the fiscal cliff, it's just so much bullshit. I'm sorry, but that's all it is. It's garbage. It's crap. It's horse manure. You know, you go back to the 08 campaign and when that jackass Boehner got in there as the, Speaker of the House, I rolled my eyes. I said, you got to be kidding me. This guy is a cheap suit at best. He might as well go crawl back in a damn bottle of, Chivas Regal or whatever the hell it is he boozes up there. He's a slug. He's a slug. And, you know, George Carlin had it right. This is the best we have to offer. Boehner and that flipping turtle-looking prick McConnell. And let's not forget Lindsey Graham and John McShame. And, you know, the one I haven't heard anything from in a while is everybody's favorite Jew, Lieberman. He's been kind of quiet lately. What the hell's happened to him?
He's a short runner for Secretary of State. That's why he's holding out. He could be our next Secretary of State.
Well, you know, that'd be a good job for him. Maybe that would mend our relationship with Israel, you know?
Right. Nothing's going to mend any relationship with Israel. Israel's got its own shtick to take care of, and I'm sure they'll do it well.
We could always, rig up a new halter to bit to put in the mouth of the Jewish people over in Israel. I'm so tired of all this crap. We're so full of BS, and here we have these two opposing parties. What a bunch of garbage. And people still believe in this fairy tale. And it just blows my mind. And the one thing that we continue to do and will continue to do until we're not in a position to do it anymore, and that is compromise. That's all we've done.
or be on the radio show for that matter. I mean, that's probably going to come to an end pretty soon, I think.
I mean, you go all the way back. You go back to the Articles of Confederation. And, oh, well, that was too difficult. We needed a compromise. Right? And what was the compromise? Well, the compromise was we created this new entity, this federal entity, a new government. But, you know, in the process of the compromise, we evidently underestimated the ability of those who are appointed or elected into office to bullshit their way through and use linguistic gymnastics to change the meaning of words right before our very eyes. And then the very first thing we did was we compromised on the creation of a national bank. Even though we didn't have a national government, it was supposed to be a federal government. I mean, go back and listen to the arguments, read through the arguments that were made during the Constitutional Convention. You know, the guys like Patrick Henry and others, the other guy from Virginia, oh, man, I can't think of his name now. A lot of people like to give him a hard time, and he's a relative of one of my buddies.
Not Burr
is the one that shot Hamilton, and they were business partners in a bank in New York. But I mean, everything was compromise, compromise, compromise. And so here's the founders, and they set up these principles, and they were unwavering, you know, and they didn't compromise on their morals when they fought a revolutionary war. Well, it was a civil war, actually, if you think about it, with the mother country, England. They were willing to risk everything, evidently, at some point. And then as soon as they got settled in, they began to compromise everything they had just won.
Oh, well, that's the American way. Spin, spin, spin.
Well, I think as human nature.
That's the American way, Ron. I just fired my lawn service, another lawn service that I have. I'm good at myself now. I just fired them. I got tired of people raking me through the coals. I just got tired of it. They were just prorating a bill just to aggravate the hell out of me. and I paid full amount, knowing that I already paid them off, right? And I paid them another extra $150 just to shut them up and say, "You're fired." Out of my life, you know. I mean, that's the way the world's coming to now. And now, in less than 3 weeks, I've seen a dramatic change of people being hateful. I mean, they were already hateful to begin with, but in my opinion, they're becoming more hateful and more bitter, and. It's us, it's the working class against the you know, Romney had it right. It's the working class against the entitlement class. That's
well,
all it is.
I mean, sooner or later, you know, people come to the realization that everyone out there, and I mean everyone outside of your door, is out to get a slice of your pie.
Exactly. They want what I want. They want to have it.
In one method or another. And, you know, business today, you know, it's there are those businesses out there that offer a product or a service for a fee, and you get what you pay for. But all too often, you know, everything is so automated and that mistakes happen. And when mistakes happen, there's really no representation. And you more or less end up being told, you know, if you don't like it, tough.
Yeah.
But we've grown so accustomed to it, we take it. We just compromise. We roll over. Oh, well, it's only $20, you know.
Not me. Oh, I mean, I didn't roll over. They just lost my business. I wasn't going to put up with it anymore.
You know, I had an insurance company here in Georgia. This was several years ago. They made a mistake on my auto policy. They misapplied $20, okay, of $385 that I sent them for my main policy. They misappropriated $20 and applied it to a secondary policy I had, and the secondary policy was paid in full for 6 months. So there was no reason to divert $20 for any purpose, but they did, which made me short for my premium, so they canceled me. So they figured out a way. So they took $385 of my money and then promptly canceled my policy because of their mistake. I get a letter from the state, cost me $50 to reinstate my tags on my two cars. Meanwhile, the insurance company said, well, there's nothing we can do. I'm like, well, it was your screw-up. It's through no fault of mine. Where's the idea of customer service? My God, this is ridiculous. Doesn't matter. You know, when I lived in Illinois, my wife mailed in, you want to talk about angry, mailed in a check for our dog's rabies tag. $7.50. It had been $7.50 for years. And it just so happened that the timing was such that her father was in the hospital and we were leaving to go to Colorado to be with her father when he passed away. When I returned home, I didn't have a notice. I had a police officer show up at my door looking for me. And he promptly arrested me. And he took me to jail, 46 miles from my home. You know why?
Why?
Because the county had increased the fee for the rabies tag from $7.50 to $8.50. And because I hadn't paid $8.50, I was no longer in compliance. And they tried to serve me with a notice, but I wasn't home. So they put a warrant out for my arrest for failure to have a rabies tag on my flipping dog, even though they cashed my check for $7.50 and kept the
$7.50. Well, you got arrested.
Yeah, I got arrested. I ended up a night in jail. My wife had to bail me out. And then I go to court, and the prosecutor says, well, this is just ridiculous. I agree. It's a dollar. I was furious. The judge wouldn't listen to the prosecutor or to me. He said, this is simply an arraignment. The only thing I want to hear is guilty or not guilty. And I looked at him and I said, if I plead not guilty, I've got to take another day off of work and come all the way back here. If I plead guilty, how much is the fine? $51.
Son of a bitch.
Mad as hell, I pled guilty and paid the $51. Another compromise.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. For a dog tag?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
How are you, Miss Linda?
After hearing that one, it's like, oh my gosh, I can see why you get on a rant at times. It's insane what's going on. You know, you can't even walk out your door because these draconian laws and stupid things they're doing to us. And I don't know where it ends up. I mean, other than a true revolution, I don't know. Of course, now they'll be at my door. There will be a lot more than $51 when they go try to take me away.
Yeah, you know, and every one of us, every single one of us is unique individuals, okay? And every one of us has had a unique and individual experience in life from the time we were born until now. And I can only express from my own point of view that I look back in my life and I think about all the times that I compromised
Right.
And, you know, I get really pissed at myself.
Sure.
Because every time I've gone against my own convictions, my own instincts, I've regretted it. And I'm just I'm not willing to continue compromising
anymore.
I'm done.
I think everybody's done wrong. Everybody has the same sentiments. I gotta go see Frank this weekend, make sure he's okay. I'm sure he's got the lab. Sure, he has a lot to say.
Please tell him hi for all of us, please.
I will. I really do. I've been feeling guilty about that. It's just I've been really busy with state now, and God, I can't believe I'm in state system.
I believe we have Mr. Mike from the hot seat left on the line. Mike, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Ron. How are you doing today?
Pissed.
No. But, Ron, baby, you compromised. You should have stayed another day in jail instead of paying that $51.
You're right. You know what? You're absolutely right.
Come on, man. You're a hero.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I'm telling you, I've got a drawer over here on my desk, a file drawer, with the cases that I've fought up here at the county court for myself and for others, where I said, you know what? No, I'm not just going to go away. I'm not going to compromise. Not anymore.
No, I hear you. I think the best thing, I already told Melissa, and, you know, she's not taking me seriously, but she better. I have a 5-year plan. I'm getting out of lib-retarded Connecticut. And I tell you, bro, all unnecessary expenditures are done. We are on a freeze outside of what we need for the kids or whatnot, and I'm banking at least $1,000 a month.
Good.
So I plan on having, and it's not all going to be where the government can strip me of it. They'll have to go looking in a lot of places. And I'm going to have about 60 G's in 5 years, and I'm going to give lib-retarded Connecticut the finger, and I'm pulling my kids out. And if Melissa doesn't want to go, then she could stay here, and then she can get a lawyer to come after me. But in 5 years, I'm gone. Because you know what? We're bankrupt. It's bankrupt. All the blue states are bankrupt. They're going to get more bankrupt. And
where are you looking to go?
You know, I'm kind of leaning towards Texas. I mean, you know.
Oklahoma.
I'm kind of afraid. Everybody has a gun, which is good, but I've seen news reports where people just shoot each other in shopping malls. My best friend had to pull a gun on someone, you know, twice. So I'm kind of concerned about, you know, that. Like, I mean, you know, I want freedom, but I don't want utter chaos either. So I guess I'm gonna have to shop around.
Oklahoma, man.
Why
Oklahoma? Because Oklahoma doesn't play that.
Island of Tonga.
But what do you mean?
The Oklahomans have shown thus far they are not willing to compromise anymore. Go look up the record.
They're even stronger than Texas?
Way less than Texas.
Really?
Texas is still, Texas is still blathering about compromising. They've got that jackass Perry for a governor who, you know, doesn't really take serious the idea of secession.
That's true.
And he's an idiot. I'm telling you, the people in Oklahoma said, we don't give a damn what the federal government does. They don't run Oklahoma. We do.
Nice.
Oklahoma's passing an immigration law, and if the feds don't like it, tough.
I like
and
that.
You know what happened? The illegals packed up and went to Texas. That's what happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I told you. They were, as I said on my show 2 weeks ago, they will self-deport, and they were doing that in Arizona. Until the feds got a little upset that it was actually working and started clamping down on them. But it was working.
Well, and you know, this is a question that I posed, and I would love to sit and talk with the woman, but she wouldn't give me the time of day. But I said it way back when all that crap was in the news. When Jan Brewer walked into federal court and granted jurisdiction to the federal government over Arizona's sovereign law, she had to know. She's an attorney.
Yep.
Okay, and there is a rule at law. It's an unstated presumption, but it's in the law books. You can look it up. And that is all your right to waive any defect in process. Okay, a defect in process would be, gee, you don't have any jurisdiction in this matter. That would be a defect in process. Any right to claim a defect in process is waived by your voluntary appearance. You waltz into court and answer the charges, you're granting jurisdiction.
Okay, but what if you don't go to court and you don't answer the charges? Then what happens?
Well, the feds can do whatever they want to try and do. But, you know, the funny thing is Arizona is a sovereign state, and they've got a lot of armed officials known as police in the state of Arizona. And they also have their own private army called the National Guard of Arizona. Do you honestly believe in this day and age that the federal government would be willing to step it up to the level of actually invading with our military the state of Arizona?
And you know what else they have?
I'd like to see that happen.
They have several constitutional sheriffs, Sheriff Mac, Babo, and another one I can't remember. But
don't forget Sheriff Joe.
Ohio. Yeah, Sheriff Joe, Sheriff Mac, and I'm not sure if he's still in AZ, but Babo's there too, I think. So these guys, they're all members of Oath Keepers. They have conventions every year. They understand sovereignty, and they will not bow to the damn feds.
So why do you think Governor Brewer compromised herself?
I don't know. That's my question. Because she had to know, Mike. There's no way she didn't know. There is no way possible she didn't know. And the better question is, why is it that we have one state in the union, Oklahoma, that seems to have the wherewithal, the fortitude to do it the right way and tell them, to hell with you. We're doing it our way. This is our state. Pound sand.
Good for them.
Well, hopefully they'll stay that way. Because I got to tell you, I mean, seriously, folks, store your money and whenever, and I know it's scarce, whenever overtime is offered or something, if you're working or whatever, take it and put the money away like you never had it.
You know, I don't understand why more Americans aren't absolutely furious right now that you've got 535 elected officials in Washington, D.C., discussing what portion of your paycheck to steal from you.
Because they're numb. They're so disassociated. They're so disenfranchised. They're so mentally out of it. They don't even know anything. I mean, there was an interview. I forgot who the guy was. He went on his beach randomly and was interviewing for some show. Some college floozy thought that Ben Franklin was the 100th president. I mean, come on.
Well, he's on
the
$100
like
bill,
I mean,
for God's
you know,
sakes. He wasn't.
But when you start answering crap like that, I mean, you know it's over. You know it's
over.
Oh,
all yeah, they're completely dumbed down. Look what they did. They, in 08, they voted for their chancellor, and this time they got their Führer.
And not just that, but, you know, a lot of these young kids, they're so defeated. They know their future is bleak. They know college is a waste of time. There are no jobs out there. So, you know, I think they become desensitized. Just give me my ganja, my pot, and leave me alone. That's really the attitude. As long as I have enough money from my pot, and I'm going to live in my mother's basement. I got a guy at work. He's 26 years old. Now, he's got to be making somewhere between 65 and 80 grand a year. He was so happy one night. He goes, "My mom cooked me steak and gave me chocolate chip cookies. I'm never leaving her basement." This is a 26-year-old kid. When I was 26, I was a father. I had two children, and I owned my own co-op apartment in Westchester, New York. For those of you that don't know where that is, it was about 20 minutes out of New York City. And here's a 26-year-old, a generation later, he's so happy to sit in his mommy's basement for the rest of his life and be fed steak and chocolate chip cookies. This is our future.
He's
this
in
is
the
not
cave,
funny.
My man.
But
see,
this
that's
is not
the problem.
Funny.
We've been in the cave for so many generations that we don't recognize our rights as inherent rights anymore. We see them as civil liberties subject to negotiation.
But do you see that they don't care?
Well,
I just want enough money for my pot and my video games. I mean, I can't believe I got a guy, he has four daughters, a fifth one on the way. There's another guy with four kids. And the freaking spending money like crazy. They both smoke, and they talk about video games. These are grown men. I mean, look, I once in a while play, you know, MLB. It's a baseball game on PS3. And, you know, I have a team and, you know, and stuff like that. But this is all they talk about, buying the latest video game.
I don't get it, man. I walked away from all that crap.
But I don't get it.
I cannot stomach to even be associated with that junk. But you're absolutely right.
But I'm at work. I can't run. I mean, I have to listen to this. This is what these people are talking about. Playing video games and living in mommy's basement. So they don't care if the taxes go up a little bit. Because, Ron, they have no ambition. They have no motivation.
I had a kid working for me, 28 years old. He's got a damn college degree, right? His heart was set on playing professional basketball, but it ended up he had a heart murmur, so he couldn't, right? He lives at home with his mommy, and his whole life revolves around playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to tease him and say, you know, you're sitting around in the basement in your mom's underpants playing World of Warcraft, dude. You need to get a life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's frightening. But here's a father of four and a father of a fifth on the way. And this is what these guys are talking about. And they're just throwing money out the freaking window.
Like, what's Mike, wrong? They don't know. They don't know. They have no clue.
They've never heard anything about bread and circus, my man.
Yeah, but
they wouldn't know. They'd look at you like you were stupid if you said that.
Yeah, or
and
you were speaking
why.
Martian. I know.
Right. But this is why the country is so compliant, because it doesn't care. It's take what you want from me. I don't want to be bothered. As long as I can buy my pot from a friend who's a supplier, as long as I can get the latest video game, I don't care. That's what we've come down to.
My favorite radio show, Mike Church, it's on Sirius, and he always plays just the best damn clips, and he always has, you know, he's got a band together, and they do these parodies, and today, you know, the clip he played was from one of the National Lampoon vacation movies with Cousin Eddie, and they were talking about, he was talking about his dog. He goes, oh, yeah, he's a mixed breed. A leg hound, really, if you know what I mean.
Leg hound?
Hey, it make you glad you're not wearing short pants, but let me give you some advice. He said, let me give you some advice. If he starts going to town on your leg, better off just to let him finish.
Mm. Yeah, well.
And that's where we're at with our government. Well, if they start going to town on you, better off just to let them finish. Just. You know, relax and think happy thoughts. You know, turn the Nintendo on and play some Mario Brothers or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, John, Ron, you're really dating yourself, man. They're way beyond Nintendo.
I mean,
this is Xbox, you know, 10,000 and whatever it is, and PS3, you know.
Turn on your Atari. Atari and just play
tennis.
Some Asteroids, you know,
or
some
tennis.
Pong.
Yeah.
Hey, Ron.
Yes, Robert.
I just found out that my tax rate for this coming taxes, I have to pay 29%. How about that?
Well, how do you know that? They haven't even settled on what you have to pay yet, Robert.
Yeah, well,
that's being negotiated as we speak.
I love it. Negotiated. Negotiate. How much we can steal from you? We haven't decided.
I read it on the internet.
Oh, well, then it must be true.
It must be true. I mean, you know, because...
Well, let me tell you something. At least you know how much to expect to be raped. I, on the other hand, don't have the foggiest damned idea.
Isn't that sad?
Well, I don't know how anybody can know. Because if the Bush tax cuts expire, then it goes up on everybody.
That's what it said when the Bush tax cuts expire. Be expected to pay to whatever your salary would be. Would be, you know, let's say between 50 and 60 grand, you're going to be paying 29%.
As opposed to
18 or 19, maybe, mm-hmm. I was paying.
Huh. Okay, so it goes up a nice 10%.
Yes.
That's real nice.
Who needs
like $80,000 to $100,000 a week? I mean, who needs it?
If you all will allow me for a moment, I want to read to you a letter that I sent, just an email that I sent to Representative Tom Price. I also sent one to our illustrious Senator Saxby Chambliss. But Mr. Price had sent me two emails, one regarding taking a stand against terrorism and how we need to really bolster our ties with our ally Israel. And then the other one he sent about the looming fiscal cliff. And I felt obligated to respond to him, and I have not gotten anything other than the auto response when I first sent it. It says, "Dear Sir, I am writing in response to your recent emails regarding the subjects of terrorism and the fiscal cliff. While I hold no ill will towards any particular nation or people, I remain curious in regards to our financial affection towards Israel, or for that matter, any other nation or government around the world. I must ask, sir, what part of our Constitution is being upheld or pursued when Congress sends billions of dollars to foreign nations or states? If it is the common defense, I must express my opinion that it has been an utter failure. I need not remind you that 4,000 of our citizens were murdered on September 11, 2001, and since that time, many thousands more have given their lives in the, quote, war on terror. Meanwhile, our own borders are breached daily. My mother-in-law, who lives in Arizona, has been warned by Border Patrol of armed Somalians in the area near her home. The federal government refuses to, quote, allow Arizona to defend her own territory and yet claims to be fighting a war on terror. From where I sit, sir, it appears to be a war of terror against working Americans. The fiscal cliff that Congress is all a Twitter over of late is the result of a compromise by the very same members who are now seeking a compromise to avert the last compromise. I have a saying, today's problems are yesterday's solutions. I have come to that conclusion by reading our history. The most glaring example of that statement is our current federal government. It has not created a more perfect union. It has failed to provide for the common defense. It rejects the general welfare in favor of class warfare, and it has destroyed the very idea of individual liberty. You, sir, and your colleagues have robbed generations of Americans of freedom, property, dignity, and honor. America is hated around the world not for our prosperity, but for our arrogance and intrusive behavior. Our government does not respect the rights of its own citizens, much less those of other nations. We use our military not for our own defense, but as an offensive strong-arm tool, much like the thugs and mobsters of our Prohibition era. We have bombed, shot, burned, and otherwise destroyed countless places around the globe during times of peace in the name of promoting democracy. Meanwhile, right here at home, you and your cohorts have robbed the wages of the workmen and borrowed against our future earnings to the point of bankruptcy, and now you want more. Will you and the other members of Congress finally recognize that the problem is not one of revenue, but one of spending and monetary policy? What portion of my earnings belong to me? Any? If my earnings are subject to your reach, sir, am I not little more than a serf or a slave to a government that sees me as nothing more than a resource to be exploited? You claim to be a conservative, and I am left to wonder what it is you wish to conserve. From where I sit, it is damn sure not my liberty, property, or my general well-being.
Wow.
Very nice.
I give
you
an A+
on
that.
I'm telling you, I am pissed.
Well, good.
That's an A.
Yeah, I suppose they'll probably just, you know, file it in the round file.
I figure I'll get a, you know, the cops showing up. Hey, did you write this? We're going to have to take you down for some questioning.
You sound like a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, you need some re-education.
Yeah, I think you have mental issues. I think you need Ritalin or lithium.
Probably both, and a good dose of fluoride, maybe some waterboarding, you know, that'll help.
Oh, yeah. That's always fun. Come on, what's wrong with a little love waterboarding?
I think you waterboard him just on that letter. Maybe if you read it, you know, it could be called 911 or something. That was a good letter, Ron. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I wrote one to Chambliss.
Hey, Ron.
Yes, sir.
I think you should send a copy to Joe Biden.
Oh, God.
Well, I sent this one to Saxby Chambliss up, which, you know, just so that you understand that this isn't some form letter that I sent out to him. I sit down and bang on the keyboard and take out some of my frustration. I sent him this one. Dear sir, thank you for your response to my concerns. However, I would like to take this chance to point out a few observations. You claim to have as a priority, quote, protecting the American taxpayer. Sir, everything you and your colleagues do costs me and my fellow taxpayers money. Money that you appear to believe you are entitled to by some miracle of statutory construction. I am amazed at the juvenile, cavalier attitude of our elected officials towards my weekly paycheck. You have spent my future earnings to provide bailouts to the very institutions who have robbed this country, with the help of Congress, of the power of money. This fiscal cliff you speak of is an arrangement of your negotiations and a compromise that was voted for and passed by you and your colleagues. This we were assured would force Congress to cut spending. This fiscal cliff is more like a fiscal mirage. The spending cuts are not cuts at all. Perhaps if the American taxpayers had an agency that could hound Congress and bring them to trial and even pass prison sentences upon members in the same manner and with as much vigor as the IRS pursues hardworking American taxpayers, perhaps then you and your cohorts would find it in your best interest to curtail your profligate spending of the productive resources of the few Americans who are still able to be robbed of the fruits of their labor. I must question whether you and your colleagues have read our Constitution, and if so, do you comprehend the very purpose your job was created for in the first instance? The purpose of your office can be found in the preamble of our Constitution: to form a more perfect union, to ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. Can you, sir, and any of your esteemed colleagues explain to me and any of the other tax-paying Americans exactly how robbing us from 30 to 50% or more of our productive efforts secures liberty for us? Perhaps the wholesale theft of our wages is promoting domestic tranquility. Sir, is robbing money from one half of the public to pay the other half off promoting the general welfare? I could continue for several pages, however, I suspect you get the idea. And I further suspect you don't give a damn what I think. For if you did, sir, you would not continue in preserving this modus operandi. The very domestic tranquility of this United States is being strained to the breaking point, and I fear very soon the people will revolt. Those who give and those who receive are both in peril, sir. Will you stop the insanity or simply continue doing nothing worthwhile?
Fabulous. That's
it's a shame, though, they're not going to give a damn and probably having a good laugh
they
over
don't
it.
Give a damn because their actions demonstrate it on a daily basis.
Hourly. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think we're just going to have to come to grips with a massive collapse. Because, you know what? Screw this fiscal cliff crap. It's the Obamacare that's going to wipe us out. I was at our first Christmas party last night before I had to go to work. My wife, well, before we had twins, sang in a choir, and they always have a Christmas party. So I was talking to this business lobbyist. She's on the Republican side, however. And she said that Obamacare is just going to gut all of Connecticut because employers are just going to drop the full-time employees to become part-time, 40 to 20-something hours, so they can hide under that umbrella. Now, that may work for a while, but you know Barry's going to catch on to that, and they'll just revamp it, and they're going to say, anybody, that's an employee of anybody, you better offer a Cadillac plan or suffer $1 million a day fine. So it's just going to suck all of us out. So screw the cliff. Cliff is nothing. That's just a dog and pony show.
Well, yep, the other thing, Mike, that's not being addressed is the fact that you have some states, like Georgia, who are refusing to set up a state
exchange.
Medical exchange. And you've got many of the states like Connecticut that are more than happy to set
up. Oh, they can't wait.
So you know what's going to occur is you're going to have people flocking from states like Georgia to states like Connecticut. Why? Because in Connecticut, I get free health care. I can't get that in Georgia. And what's going to happen? It will overload the system in the blue states. And you know what? No offense, sir, but I can't wait. I can't wait until they're overwhelmed.
And I'm sure, Ron, I am sure that I'm going to get the best that Georgia has to offer.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm going to get the best of the best of your citizens.
You're going to get what we refer to down here as fleas.
Well, California's right there. They can't wait here either.
But Ron, the flea class doesn't sound like it's exactly the best of the best that you have to offer.
Well, it is the best of the best that relocated here from Louisiana after Katrina.
Ah.
Oh, Lord.
Man, it's like ants on a picnic, isn't it?
Like fleas on a dog, man.
Well, that's fine. Melissa just better get it through her head. I'm out of here in five. I'm out.
Yeah, you know what?
I hope you got five, brother, but I don't think you do.
Well,
yeah,
whatever. Hey,
I know.
That's good. I mean, I would leave tomorrow, but I'm giving Melissa 5 years to get the point, and I need time to hopefully I can save at least a grand a month, at least.
Well, I'm praying for you. Yeah, I'm trying to make plans, too, because I want out of this mess.
Well,
and
you
got to
go,
Linda.
You got to go.
Yeah. I told my friends, I said, and when I leave, before I, you know, actually get in the car to take my little self to wherever my moving van's going, I'm going to put two envelopes in the mail. One's going to Moonbeam Brown and one's going to the mayor of Oceanside, and I'm going to tell them in no uncertain terms why I'm leaving. They will not like what they hear.
Well, here's the thing, Linda. I know that you have your mom still. Now, you know I'm kidding when I say this. But why don't you just do what Romney did? Tie her up on the roof and just go.
Tie her what?
With his dog. Just put her on the roof, tie her, just take off. Just go.
Jesse James.
Just like Romney's dog, Fido, whatever the dog's name was. Killer. I don't know what it was.
Oh, my God.
Well, you remember, funny. You know, in National Lampoon's Vacation that we were talking about earlier, they did leave Grandma on the roof of the car in her rocking chair.
That's funny. You know what?
Put her in the rocking chair.
The problem is,
put her on the back.
I know. She just had her 90th birthday. I can't get her to move across the street, let alone across country, so there's no way. So,
you have to hoodwink her. You have to put a hood over her head and kidnap her.
Oh, you're going to bingo.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Take her by
force. Play that.
Take her by force. Like, we might get taken by force. To show her what it might feel like.
No, I'm just going to hang here and do what I have to do, and then when the time comes, then I will.
But what if she lives to 100?
But Mikey, hang on a minute. I'm going to... I'm going to throw that back on you just a little bit.
What's that?
I mean, this is the same conversation we were having about the one angry Jew not too long ago and wanting to leave the United States.
Yeah.
Okay, so
what... Are you talking about me?
No. What difference does it make if you're leaving the country or just leaving a state for one that looks a little more promising?
Well, here's the thing. My friend Howard talks about going to Thailand or whatever. Now, here's the situation. I don't think I want to go to a place that just wants to hoard my pocketbook every time I walk down the street or will slit my throat if I don't.
Well, hell, you already live there.
Well, not exactly. Well, they do it much more civilized. They do it much more civilized.
Right. Yeah.
So
they want you to give it up willingly, you know.
Right. So I don't think there's anywhere to go as far as like leaving the country. I don't think I'm going to go to a joint that's just going to slit my throat because they feel like it, or mysteriously drug me and then I don't even know about it. So I think I'll just move to a better state maybe. Yeah.
But I think the principle is the same either way. You know, we joke about it, and you know, you got to have some levity. But honestly, if we're honest and we look at it, you know, pragmatically, whether you're talking about going from one state to another or from one country to another, you know, I think we're deluding ourselves to think that we're actually going to outrun it.
Well, you can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I don't see a reason to take the full brunt of it in a blue state that you have nothing in common with. I mean, there's nothing here for me. You know, they're not doing anything.
You can't be the only level-headed man in the whole state of Connecticut.
Oh, I won't be. I won't be. Believe me, I'm not the only one thinking this way, as we were seeing in California, like as Linda points out.
Sure.
There's a mass exodus. People are just leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the thing that floors me, and I've got a buddy of mine that, you know, he's lived down here in Georgia his whole life, and he's asked me, you know, what the hell is wrong with these people up north? He said they keep voting these people in. They do it to themselves.
Yep.
They're just giving themselves the old hose right up the wazoo.
It's suicidal. They're kamikaze pilots. They're suicidal. You know what's going to be great, though? Is that these libtards are going to go down first. And
they're going to go down in flames.
They're going to be hitting the streets first.
Oh, yeah.
Like in Greece. Yep. They're going to be the first ones to start rioting. These people that, you know, they want gun control and they want civility and they're going to be the first ones to go apeshit.
Yep.
When
that's
the poop hits the fan. Because they think that, you know, we're just talking nonsense. So when they have no food and they've got no money, they'll be the first ones hitting the streets.
Yeah, when they got no freebies. And you know, this is the thing. It pisses me off. I don't know who it was the other day. I saw a quote. He said, you know, we've got to reach a compromise so that we don't end up like Greece. I'm sorry. Has anyone paid attention to the process that occurred over in Greece? It was one friggin' compromise after another. And the austerity measures... Well, that's just another way of calling it sequestration. Are you kidding me? We're gonna have to increase taxes and cut benefits. Isn't that what they did over in Greece? I thought you said the purpose of this was to avoid being like Greece, and you're doing the exact same damn thing they did in Greece. It's called austerity, you jackass.
It's the same story. And it's
right,
never
and they're
worked.
Trying to gloss it over with different words like it's something different.
And
it's
never
not.
Worked. I defy anyone to tell me when it ever worked in this country. Now, the key words are during a recession. When has the country ever prospered during a recession when they raise taxes? Because the first person, what about when Ronald Reagan did it? We prospered. It wasn't during a recession. And he created recessions when he left office.
Reagan didn't raise the taxes. Reagan actually cut the marginal tax rate.
Looking further, he raised taxes on lower income earners a lot. He accelerated the Social Security payroll tax. He raised taxes 11 times.
Well, you got to give the credit for that to your Congress. I don't think it was.
I don't care. He did the same bullshit.
Yeah,
he compromised. He said that the Democrats were going to cut spending. He bought into it, and they fisted him. And George Bush the first did the same thing. And then Clinton did it to the Republican Congress. So it's just a cycle of bullshit.
Oh, it
it's
is.
All bullshit.
It's up and down, up and down. And you're right. You know, Reagan came in office. We had 21% interest rates. You know, and we were in the middle of a recession. He cut taxes. Government revenue increased, but so did spending exponentially. And that was the problem.
Well, right. So,
and it's
Reagan also, but then we had the tax reform. He raised taxes on lower income earners. I read this all week. And,
oh, well, sure.
And he accelerated the Social Security payroll tax. So this guy raised taxes, and he created recessions that took place after he left office.
Well, sure.
So,
that's
these people that want a revival of the Reagan Revolution, it's just horse crap.
Yep.
I agree.
You know, you gotta understand how these idiots think, and the ones that are the 535 of them, they're insatiable. They literally are statists. The more they take, the more they want. All they want to do is raise those damn taxes. They're not going to cut anything. They're not going to pay down one dime of any deficit or debt. They just want your money to spend more on their little pet.
Exactly.
Garbage.
And the
That's
American
exactly
people.
That's exactly what's going on.
And the American people have such teeny tiny brains and short attention spans. They
fall for it.
For a compromise.
You know,
so we don't have to talk about this anymore. So they can get back to Kim Kardashian and their video games. Just compromise already. Just get it over with, please. What do you mean just get what over with?
You know what they remind me of? They remind me of Krispy Kreme Christie in a donut factory. I mean, they cannot get enough. They're just it's a nutshell.
And you see today, the Republicans have got a counteroffer. Did you hear that crap?
Yeah, but no. There's no offer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah. No.
Just say, kill us and kill the country and put on Obama. But,
no,
you know,
the Republicans have a plan reform Social Security. They're going to increase the retirement age of Social Security. They're going to do away with any cost of living increases for Social Security. They're going to monkey around with Medicare and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And that's going to, over 10 years, save $2 trillion. I'm like, what? You guys are just as friggin' genius as the Democrats, right? Because the Democrats want to raise, what, $1.6 trillion in taxes, and that'll cover us for 8 days. Well, no, the Republicans want to raise $2 trillion, but they're going to do it over 10 years.
And Ron.
Yeah, but look who they're attacking, though.
Well, of course.
They're attacking old people. How about you just cut the funding to Islamist terrorist nations like Egypt and Libya, and why don't you cut aid to Israel? They don't need it. Come on, they've got nukes, they've got an economy.
We don't talk about that though.
No.
We have done absolutely nothing to aid Israel. All the United States government and our bureaucracy has done is put a bridle on Israel and keep them from doing what, humbly, I believe, needs to be done over in the Middle East. But
yeah, but that's their own fault, man. Because Netanyahu had the perfect excuse. They were attacked first by Hamas. He had the perfect excuse to gut that whole region, and he succumbed to this fake, phony ceasefire. It's their own fault. He's going to be gone, by the way. He's not long for that post.
And how many decades have they been doing that and playing that friggin' game? And that's exactly the
bullshit. That's why it's all bullshit.
Right. That's exactly the point. They've got the whole world community, the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, the United States government going, are you kidding me? See, this is, again, that damn compromise crap.
Yep. It's just garbage. We're stuck in this mess.
I remember my son, and I got grief about this from family members, not from my wife, to her credit. Well, my son was 2. And we had bought him a tricycle. And we lived in an apartment complex at the time. And across the way was a guy and his wife. He was ex-Navy and his wife was Filipino. And they had a little boy who was 3. And my son came up crying his eyes out because the little neighbor boy took his tricycle. And I said, well, what the hell is wrong with you? You're bigger than he is. You go down there and you smack him in the mouth and you take it back. And he did. And he got
his back.
And he got his little tricycle back. The other little boy ran home to mommy crying. And when daddy came over, I said, look, it doesn't belong to him. You need to teach your son some manners. If you don't, my son will. And that's the way it works.
Yep. Oh, God.
Nice.
Theft is theft.
No compromise. My property. You want to share? I got no problem sharing. You want to come take it? You're going to have a fight on your hands.
Yep. Have the courtesy to ask.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
That's all it takes is a little common courtesy.
Which has died a horrible
death. So then the government should politely ask to take our money then.
And I can politely tell them to blow it out their tailpipe.
And you know what? Mike, when that happens, we can ice skate in hell because that is not going to happen. You know that.
No.
Like I proposed a question a long time ago. And the question I proposed is, what if we never voted and we didn't pay our taxes, period? And that's the bottom line. If we didn't pay our taxes and we didn't vote, what could they do to us? They're going to put us in jail.
Yes, of course. But the only way we can not claim taxes is either to quit our jobs, because you got to have the W-4 form, or claim, I think, what's the highest you can claim? 9, right?
No, Mike. See, that's not right. Let's rewind the clock just a little bit on this tax thing, okay? Mm-hmm. How does the government know how much to charge you in taxes every year?
Whatever they make up.
Well, they got to get the information from somewhere.
Guess my employer, right?
Oh, well, now we're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady, and I've got it on my other computer. I'll have to look her up. But when I was really delving into the income tax thing, this was back in the late 40s, early 50s. And she fought it. And she absolutely, abjectly refused to report anything to the federal government about the people that worked for her. They hauled her butt into court. You know what she told them? She said, the moment you begin compensating me for being a tax collector, I might consider it. But you cannot force me in any way, shape, or form by any legislation to become an uncompensated tax collector for the federal government. It's unconstitutional. The court agreed.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, but that's that employer, though. Mine isn't going to do that.
Okay, so we had one employer that had the chutzpah to say no. You know, I was talking to my employer.
So what do I do? I don't work for her, so what do I do?
Well, you need to get your employer's ear, huh?
And what am I supposed to say to that employer?
Hey, you know, it's not right you giving the government all this information about me, and look at all the grief it's causing you,
the employer,
because it does cause them grief.
And then what?
I've had the conversation with my employer, and I told him the story about the guy that was in Vegas paying his employees with silver dollars.
Well, I don't think the company I work for is going to pay me in silver dollars.
Most of them won't. But again, it just points out the problem. We're all too damned compliant. Yeah. Guys, I got 90 seconds left. Last words, Mike.
Last words are, again, save all the money that you can.
Just cut
your spending. Screw the economy. Let it shit the bed. F them. And just put as much money and cash and put in different spots as you can. That's my final thought.
Robert?
Well, I've been doing that for the past 5 years. And who knows what's going to happen. I pray that we're all safe, we have food on the table, and we can still breathe and stay on this roof as long as we can.
Miss Linda?
God bless you guys. Thanks for taking my call, and I agree with, you know, ditto to all you guys, and I just pray every day and do what I got to do and prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Well, I agree, and guys, you know, there is something we can do, and it's one of those things, I guess, we have to pick our own battles, and each one of us has to make a determination every day whether or not it's worth fighting on each individual confrontation that comes along. We're the only ones that can decide that. And I hope that, you know, maybe my little rant has inspired some of you to be a little more nonconformist.
I'm not complaining anymore.
Amen.
God bless you guys, and we'll see you all tomorrow night.
Got it. Take care. Thank you, everybody.
And you too. Be good.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.